welcome to Talking Therapies, a podcast made together with Psychology's magazine and the UK Council for Psychotherapy, or UKCPE for short. I'm Susie Walker and I'm the Editor-in-Chief at Psychology's. Each month on Talking Therapies, we will be talking to a UKCPE therapist about a range of topics. In this episode, we'll be discussing bullying, its evolution in the social media age, and the detrimental consequences it can have on someone's mental health.
I think bullying is grossly underestimated, actually, the damage it does and has done in our society and carries on doing. And I think the more it's talked about, the better. I think it's getting worse in the age of the internet, which someone has called social terrorism. It's an expression, I think, which sums it up. And I was thinking of the people who are listening to this podcast. I think obviously it's a self-selected group, but I would suspect that most of them would have experienced bullying either as in their youth, childhood, or currently. And I think the hallmark that strikes me again and again is how few people talk about it. How very rarely people will talk about how they feel or how they have been bullied. And that's, I think, the nub of it and why it needs to be talked about.
That was psychotherapist Sue Cowan-Jensen. Sue has previously written for Psychology's magazine and has contributed articles in books and journals. She has specialist training in trauma and bereavement and is a founding member of the Relational School and the London Psychotherapy and Trauma Centre. Shortly, Sue will be talking to Matt Nichols, the head of content at UKCP, to discuss the damage and shame bullying can create. But first, here's some comments about bullying from people we spoke to on the street.
People are scared to come forward because they see a sign of weakness.
Social media has changed the way people are being bullied because people can hide behind distance. In other words, they don't have to face people that they're being mean to. So it means they can be twice as mean and there's no comeback on them necessarily. So yes, I think it has changed it hugely.
If they were being bullied on social media, then it would need to be reported back to whoever's organising that particular piece of media. Otherwise, I think it may very well be a matter for if it's happening at work, the employer, or the police.
Try and stand up to them. Yeah, don't be afraid. Just talk to people. If you're young, talk to your parents. Talk to a friend. Don't bottle it up, basically.
That it's not their fault and it's the person who's bullying them's fault.
A 2011 survey by Unison found that 60% of the 6,000 recipients reported experiencing or witnessing bullying in their workplace, and 80% of workers said they experienced some form of cyberbullying. Bullying and harassment remains a significant issue in the workplace, and recipients are more likely to suffer with depression and anxiety. Let's find out some more about bullying.
How can bullying damage a person, then?
Because it attacks their sense of who they are, themselves. And if you think we're actually social creatures, we evolved into social creatures. Early man hunted together. If you weren't part of the group, your survival was at risk. Even, you know, if you think of the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church used excommunication as a form, the highest form of punishment outside of torture. Because to be cast out was a terrible source of pain and punishment. So I think, you know, we feel it in the core of our being when we're bullied. It makes us feel bad about ourselves. We feel demeaned. We feel reduced, less than others. It activates shame. These feelings feel shameful. Shameful feelings are the most difficult to process. It leads to things like depression and anxiety. And I think, you know, the statistics, you know, that come out is how much bullying goes on and how it contributes to anxiety and depression in the workplace.
You mentioned a bit about blaming ourselves when we're victims, really, of bullying. Is that really the case?
It is always the case, I'd say. It's because you can feel very helpless with bullying. It's something to do with me. Maybe I could do something differently. It's why me? Why am I being bullied? Why not that person? Why not this person? So yes, we do tend to blame ourselves. Even if cognitively we might know it's not true, internally we think, there really is something wrong with me. And let's face it, most of us carry a part of ourselves when we feel less than confident or less than good about ourselves.
And you mentioned earlier in there about today's society. Do you think there's an increased compulsion to bully in society?
Yes, a quick answer. Yeah. I think there is, because I think, you know, we have a very unequal society in truth. It's competitive. So if you are in a world of winners and losers, let's face it, most of us are not always going to be winners. And if winning is prioritized over cooperation, then you're going to get the temptation to try and up your status by downing somebody else's. So yes, I think if it's a competitive society, you're going to get increased bullying.
Do you think there's a way we can change that, though? Is there a way we can, it's a big question to ask if we can change society, but can we?
I mean, it is actually a huge question. I was thinking about this, and they're sort of obvious individual techniques, but I think it also has something to do with inequality. And this might feel a bit political for a podcast, but I'll go with it anyway. Because with inequality, you're going to get people who feel failures. They aren't as successful. They haven't been as successful. That doesn't make you feel good about yourself. And so what do you do with all those feelings? And the internet gives you, you know, a great opportunity to make somebody else feel lousy about themselves, dump some of these feelings onto somebody else. What you're actually doing is offering an example. Look, you can feel better about yourself by making somebody else feel awful. But actually what I won't change is giving you the real tools so you do feel better about yourself. I'll give you an education. I'll help you, you know, find work. These are the real things. Make people feel more equal and they will not feel as unhappy. I think that's, I think if, so long as you've got great inequality, you are lumbered with bullying, yes.
What difference do you think social media has made to bullying?
There's two things it does. One, it gives anonymity to the bullier. So you don't actually have to see the consequences of it. You lose empathy. You don't have a sense that there's a real person. It's very easy to just click away. And then the evidence of that bullying is in the social sphere. And increasingly, people identify themselves, construct a social self, you know, on the internet. And if that social self is trashed or mocked, you feel annihilated. It was this week, one in four 14-year-old girls are self-harming, and much of it attributed to bullying. Teenage years are fragile years. They don't have the resilience to know this is transient.
And it can apply throughout your whole life.
Absolutely, yes,
it?
Of course.
And it can be one of those very difficult things to confront bullies and to take action against a bully. Why do you think people find it so hard to confront them?
It is very hard. Let me just say, very hard to confront bullying. We do actually have a sort of self-protective sense of, I'm not going to show that I've been wounded. You don't show this person who's attacking you how wounded you are, because it can make it worse. If you start to cry or you get angry, they can go for you more. And I think it's a sort of emotional freeze. If I don't show I'm hurt, they'll just pass on and leave me alone. So I think a lot of people try not to react, pretend it hasn't happened. And while, you know, that is one way of coping, what doesn't get addressed is the internal damage it does. Why me? Why is this happening to me?
And you just sort of leave that almost sort of fermenting.
Yes, you swallow it. I think when you see that bullying, you feel it sort of really attacks your sense of self and your sense of self-esteem. And as I said earlier, it's also about sort of try and hide, try and, you know, make out it hasn't really happened. So then it's quite an act to sort of possibly put your head above the parapet, make a complaint. There's a fear it'll make it worse, that it'll somehow mark you out as someone who can't take it. So, you know, it will depend upon whether the workplace, what kind of policy or what kind of sympathetic workplace it is or isn't. And I think, interestingly, why do colleagues not confront it, also who witness it? I think, one, they're frightened of coming into the line of fire. But if you witness it and don't do anything, you also feel bad about yourself. Because it's essentially, you know, it's not a brave act not to confront it. Actually, I think one thing that's really important is even if you don't have the courage to confront it, you should be offering your support to the person who's being bullied. You should actually acknowledge what's been happening and that it's not right. So there is something about comradely support, if that's a word, but, you know, to show that they're not so alone.
Yeah. I suppose there's also a case of they might not be the only one being bullied as well.
Absolutely, yes.
Wanted to talk a little bit about workplace bullying with you, Sue. So many of us are in what we might call toxic workplaces now, and we've discussed these in previous podcasts. Why do you think workplace bullying is on the increase, maybe, or is it on the increase?
I mean, we know that there are, you know, quite dramatic statistics that I think it was the Unison statistics that 60% of workers had experienced some sort of workplace bullying or seen workplace bullying. I mean, in one way, I think it's hard to generalise because each workplace has its own dynamic and its own. You can be lumbered with some absolutely awful, toxic boss. But again, it sort of fits in what I was saying about winners and losers and seeing that, you know, you feel your position is vulnerable. Why not make somebody else feel bad too? Or I'll boost myself up at your expense. But there's a technique which I think can be very useful. I mean, that is apart from, you know, doing the normal things, like if you feel it's really so bad, you raise a complaint. But, you know, in everyday ways, this came to me when I worked actually at a place, a clinic, where there was a fair amount of bullying. The boss was charismatic, powerful, and a bully. Then one day he turned to my colleague, call him John, and he just looked at him. He said, "Haven't got much of a beard, have you?" And he just turned round and said to him, "And why does that matter to you?" And I sort of thought of it, and I call it the mirror technique, which is just as somebody is trying to impose something or project something onto you, you don't accept it, but you lob it back. Why does that matter? Or why are you saying that? Why is that important? You know, why now? That you actually ask a courteous question, but it puts it right back on the dealer. It shuts them up nicely.
Can take a lot of internal strength, I imagine, for...
It does, and you have to learn it. You can sit there, you know, and practice it, but it's an incredibly useful technique. You know, why are you doing this now?
Yeah.
Why talk to me in that? Why did you talk to me in that tone of voice? Sort of compassionate curiosity, but it works.
Right. That's a really useful, really interesting approach to things. I also wanted to just talk to you about transferring shame, which is an interesting concept.
Well, I mean, it's the core, isn't it? I mean, it's shame is difficult for all of us to process. You know, you have the expression, "I could have died of shame." I mean, that comes from somewhere. And we tend not to be very good about owning our own shame. And so it can be very tempting to ask somebody else to feel it for us by shaming them. Somewhere inside, I know what these feelings are, but I'm going to make you feel them instead of me. There was a Norwegian filmmaker who did a documentary called Internet Warriors, and he did research for 3 years on internet trolls. And what he found was, as a group, they were isolated, disconnected, you know, rather lonely, and very often have been bullied themselves. People who need to bully are not, it's a truism, they're not happy. You see an opportunity to dump some of that onto somebody else. You know, you split it from yourself and you project it into the other.
Yeah.
And so you transfer the shame.
I wanted to also just ask a little bit about, and this is a concept I've never heard of, so forgive me. Yeah. I'd love to know a little bit more about secret contempt.
Okay, it's something I came across in the consulting room. One is actually how very rarely people will talk about bullying, early on in therapy can come up, you know, it comes up relatively late. People will talk about being sexually abused quicker than they'll talk about being bullied. Really? Or they'll trivialise, it wasn't that bad. And then when you sort of explore it further, what you see is actually, it is shame, but it's contempt for that part of themselves that got bullied. You know, if I'd have been different, if I'd have been stronger, if I'd have been prettier, if I'd have been, it wouldn't have happened. And that's the contempt, the secret contempt we hold. We don't have compassion for the self that's been bullied or being bullied.
So I was wondering if you could talk to us a little bit more about how psychotherapy can help someone going through bullying or someone who's experienced it perhaps in at another part in their life.
I think fundamentally, when you've been bullied, it's a very lonely experience. And the loneliness can feel terrible, and especially if you don't talk about it, which most people don't. And one can think about, you know, those young girls who do self-harm, the loneliness that they must feel, and the appalling aloneness of that little boy who took his own life, aged 9, for being bullied. So talking to somebody, just talking to somebody else helps. Yeah. Helps with the loneliness, helps being able to share it, help being able to put it into a context. It's here that it's being received, you know, with sympathy. And then there's also techniques that you can use and variations of something called loving eyes. Because the thing is, we don't have empathy for that part of ourselves that's been bullied on the whole. And so it is actually trying to access empathy for that part. So I might say, you know, can you see that young you or that you last week that was being bullied? And what is it that you feel for them? And if they feel something like contempt, you might say, well, would you feel that if that was your best friend? Like, no, which tells us something.
Yeah.
And I mean, very often people will feel compassion for a younger self and then look at them. What would that younger you have needed to know? What would have helped him or her to cope? What would you like to say to him or her? What would that him or her like to say to you? What would you like to say to the bullies?
Yeah.
So you can play with this with variations, but it is actually about accessing, well, putting it into perspective, but accessing that compassionate part of yourself, because it is that, you know, gets kind of destroyed.
And I suppose we need to confront it in our lives rather than holding on to it.
It
can cause probably more damage. I don't know. What would you say?
Well, I think because you're doing something, if you don't confront it, you are doing something called identifying with the aggressor. That's an analytic term. But it is like saying, you know, they're right. There's something wrong with me. And actually, rather than, you know something, that should not have happened.
Yeah.
That should not have happened. That was wrong. It was, you know, unjust, unkind. You were shown no kindness, no empathy.
Really interesting. And you've touched a couple of times, Sue, on some techniques, but what advice would you give to someone facing bullying? Or perhaps even if someone, you know someone who's possibly being bullied, to help them get through it?
Well, first and foremost, you talk about it. Really, you can talk about it. Talk about it, you know, with friends. Talk about it because most people will know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
This is sort of the first step in confronting how bad you feel about it. I also think it's incredibly important that we don't allow it to pass. When we see it, and when we see it on the internet, we confront it. We don't let it go. It causes such damage. We have to ask, why as a society are we letting it happening? And we're happening more and more.
Do you think to an element that, and I'm not sure how much we'll be able to get into this,
yes.
But do you think to an element that seeing what we might affectionately refer to as bantering in politics actually legitimises bullies?
I think it does. I think, you know, there is a reason why we've seen right spikes in racism and attacks. I think it absolutely, it normalises it. Because look, they're doing it on television. Of course it's okay. So I think it normalises it and encourages it. Yes, and then of course it's called banter, and then if you can't take it, you're called a bad sport.
And we should never feel like that about ourselves. It's not banter if it's making someone feel bad about themselves.
Exactly.
Is it? So this has been a fascinating discussion. I think we should probably also say, if you do feel that someone's at risk to themselves, there are lots of support lines you can call for advice. Never let someone suffer in silence.
Absolutely. Absolutely, there is a lot. And there are books out there too on how you handle workplace bullying, which are helpful. Allow yourself to use the resources.
Again, thank you so much for your time.
And thank you.
That was psychotherapist Sue Cowan-Jennison speaking with Matt Nichols, the head of content at the UK Council for Psychotherapy. If, after listening to that, you feel you could benefit from some talking time with a psychotherapist, then go to the Find a Therapist section of the UKCP website and have a look through. The website address is www.psychotherapy.org.uk and look for the Find a Therapist tab. We are also featuring the subject of bullying in the Psychologies magazine this month, or you can find us online at www.psychologies.co.uk. We'll be doing a podcast each month for the next year with some of the UKCP psychotherapists. And remember to like and subscribe to our channel to hear it first, and it helps others to find us too. So join us again next month. Till then, thank you for listening and take good care of yourselves.